Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Good morning. Welcome in. Saturday, suckage like it ought to be. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, we will begin with our traditional suckage roll call. Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck?
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you gotta embrace the suck.
Eloy Jimenez.
Oh my God, this sucks!
That was Toby. All right, we did Toby. How about random Bears fan?
At the front three, field, we suck!
And the newest addition to our suck roll call, Steph Curry.
We suck tonight. We'll get better tomorrow. Just a rough night. So no real explanation, really. Just got beaten every facet of the game.
Mark Grody.
Bueller.
How about Mike Esposito?
Here, sir. Good morning.
Here it goes.
How are you, my friend?
All right, Espo, how are you?
Doing great. Glad to be here, filling in for our friend Mark, and filling in, I guess, technically for myself. So it's all good.
Right. Espo's in for Grody, who is in for Espo, who is in for Spiegel, who is in for Jordan Burnfield,
You're for Brian Peruke, right?
All traces back to Brian Peruke and the chat champ, Dave Baum. Okay, as long as you're here, studs, Trash Panda is with us, Espo, and not often the case. That needs to be the case every week. He needs to be here. We'll have a discussion about that later. But his goal is to have the entire first segment of nothing but a roll call, right? Trash Panda, that's what you want?
That's my dream. I want to fill 20 minutes of roll call.
We could even do 15 and stay on the clock the way they want us
to. Well, yeah, you know.
But we never do.
Well, we never do. Yeah.
So I think we should do this. Like the big boy shows, we should crowdsource this. We should ask our Saturday Suckage listeners, all of our Wake and Bake Club members, if they can get through the fog. And we should ask them if they hear anybody use the word suck, invoke the word suck, say it, and we could trace the audio. We could make this roll call last the entire segment, and then nobody would have to hear us. Isn't that the idea?
Well, I think that is a fantastic idea.
We already have some people on board. Like Tanny's on board. He pointed out, who did he point out? I think
he pointed out Eloy Jimenez, the one you didn't play today.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys are suck. Yeah. When I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Okay, that's Tanny, but we have many suckageers out there listening to us on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and again, like I said, members of the Wake and Bake Club. I think they could help us. Now, how could they get in touch with you since you're the nexus of this, Trash Panda? Should I just go to your Twitter?
I would say, yeah, just hit me up on Twitter, which is at Trisler Studs.
Can you explain the Trisler part?
It's my middle name, man. Yeah.
Trisler.
Trisler.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, is that a family name that dates back to many Trash Panda shootings?
No, it's from my... I'm not sure the exact relation that I had to this person, but it was someone on my mom's side.
Alice.
Yes. So someone on my mom's side, on the Stigger side of the family, who... I think their first name was Trisler, and it's either a distant cousin or a distant uncle on my mom's side. Like two generations ago, okay. I think.
All right,
I think he was born in the 1800s. So it was pretty while back, but and I've seen on the like we actually have the Stigger family is much more organized than the Staszynski side, where they actually have a book of like the family lineage, and so I've seen on the family tree, if you will, where this person is. I just forget what the relation was.
And then on your dad's side, it's sort of like a family tent.
Well, that's as far back as they go. Yeah, I know my great grandpa came to America from Poland. So my grandpa was born in America. His sister was born in Poland, though. But after that, none of us are really sure where it goes.
Okay, so it's at
Central Trisler's, Illinois, obviously. At,
well, yeah, there yeah, you go.
Right, and
at Trisler Studs, though, it's TRISLERSTUDZ.
So,
and my DMs are open. You can hit me up if you find something.
We ask all suckageers to go to that. If you hear anything like Steph Curry, I heard Steph Curry this week. I said, we need to get that. We need to add to our suckage roll call. So, the suckageers listening to us and the Wake and Bake Club members, we request that you join us and we can achieve Trisler Studs' goal of an entire first segment of a roll call. In the meantime, we do have a roll call with Mike Esposito. Espo, how are you today?
Everything is great, my friend. Glad to be here for Grody and ready to suck for the next 2 hours and 50 minutes. And listen, I know this listener line, this listener tapping the suckage ears to help us here. I know this works, and I actually know this from Tanny because people send him 83 tip-offs all the time.
Still?
Right? Oh, absolutely. It's been 3 years. Any great random 83 thing gets sent to Tanny. That's how this works.
Okay. Well, we request help. We've not really asked our fellow suckageers this, so we're crowdsourcing this, and we'll see what happens. We will begin the day. This will be a day of discussing the... Four horses' asses of the bearpocalypse. It will go back to last January at times, and we'll go all the way through. But I think we need to start with George and Ted as we discuss the four horses' asses of the bearpocalypse. And I saw this, and I made a connection.
Again, the collaboration.
Yeah, collaboration. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there is a tweet from Mike Judge. You know who Mike Judge is, don't you?
Of course, yes.
He said... Because you have to wonder if there's a Bears omen in this. He tweeted this week that Beavis and Butthead will be returning this year with a brand new movie and more on Paramount Plus. Yeah, exactly right. So this is like so perfect. I think it'll star George and Ted, and the first episode will be the Olin Krutz story, the Olin Krutz salary story, and if you missed it, I don't know how you missed it.
Crack. Hell
yeah. Olin Krutz was on The Score yesterday, this very radio station. He was on with Parkins and Spiegel. And the most unbelievable thing happened. You really have to find the video to go with the audio. as you watch Spiegel's head plop into his hands. It's a stunning interview. And if you had a bucket list that needed to be checked for bears cheap and stupid, this will do it. Here is a bit of that piece of Olin Krutz on Parkins and Spiegel yesterday.
What would happen if they did put together a little players advisory council and they asked you, Olin Krutz, to come into the building and work with Ryan Pace and help? Would you do that? What would you say to him?
I'd ask him if they're talking about for free, right? Are you talking about for free? Because the last time they offered me a job, they offered me $15 an hour. So that wasn't enough. So I wouldn't come in there and help them work because nothing is for free. All of us have worked hard at gaining all this information, all this knowledge, training players on the side, helping players develop in their careers right now. I help them develop in football, learn about training them, learn about helping them advance their career. So it would just be, what are you asking me to do? Because I'm not going to just come in there, give you information so you can say I gave you information, but you're not going to listen anyway. So it would depend on what they're actually asking you to do, whether it be me, whether it be Patrick Manley, whether it be Brian Urlacher, whether it be, Jimbo Colbert. All of these guys have knowledge, but the Chicago Bears have to be serious. And the only way you show you're serious is you have to pay for the knowledge that you're asking for.
They didn't really offer you a job for $15 an hour, did they?
I wouldn't make that up, then. Yes, they did. That's the way they do business. What? Those are the things that have to change, right? This is what we're talking about, right?
What?
Harry Hiestand came in. Harry Hiestand just got hired by Notre Dame. Harry wanted me to come in there and help with the offensive line development, help coach offensive line. I would only be there player hours, was my understanding. They offered me $15 an hour to come in there as like an independent contractor. That is exactly what they did.
So what is this, like 2016, 2017?
2018, right? Harry Hiestand was hired in 2018. He was fired after the 2019 season. Coach Nagy brought him in from Notre Dame, if you guys remember. He was one of the highest sought-after offensive line coaches in the world at that time. The Bears got him here. He wanted to bring in me and Donovan Raiola. Now Donovan Raiola is the offensive line coach at Nebraska. He left. Nebraska hired him, but that was his idea. That was what they offered me. I saw Ryan Pace at camp in 2019, and he made a joke about it. He said, well, I guess we could have done a little better than that, huh, Olin? The answer is yes, you could have.
Olin Krutz collaborating with Parkins and Spiegel.
Holy cow.
The Bears offered a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, arguably the best center in their history. One of the smartest people one of the most important kind of team captains. He represented what it was. Whatever Urlacher was on defense, he was on offense. And the way that locker room ran, and as professional and focused. And the Bears, who don't know anything about football and don't care, offered him $15 an hour to consult on offensive linemen, something they still haven't fixed.
I mean, guys, that's how much I got paid an hour to check IDs at a bar in Wrigleyville last year.
You got paid more there than here.
I got tipped out at the end of the night. So I was making more at a bar in Wrigleyville than Olin Krutz would have been working for the Bears.
Right. My first thought of that was, would you like fries with this, sir? And it's like, wait a second. Your Hall of Fame material, Bears legend, undoubted offensive captain of that era of Bears teams under Lovie Smith when the Bears were contenders. And Olin was always that leader. And you're going to say to him, hey, we could use some offensive line help. Would you come in here? And listen, I understand the whole independent contractor thing, but you might want to tick your dollars up just a little bit there, Bears.
And well, here's the, like, what you guys are talking about here. If you were to make a list of best Bears players in the last 20 years, hell, maybe even last 30 years, how far would you get down the list before you hit Olin Krutz? Would you get to 5? I don't know if you'd get past 5. You certainly wouldn't get to 10.
Not on offense. Maybe Matt Forte and Olin.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Offensively, it's Forte and Olin. And then maybe, you know, there's a couple other guys you can get into at that point. But
well,
like,
you got to count Hester, but that's not offense. That's special teams.
Right.
Like, if you're like, you would go, like, certainly Urlacher would probably be the first on the list. And then, Hester, Briggs would be in there, Forte, and then Olin. Like, can you think of anyone else that would, like, seriously? So it's like maybe top five player.
Well, we know, thanks to Mohsin Mohamed, it's where receivers go to die. Well, so that's not an issue.
I mean, Brandon Marshall had some good years, but yeah.
No,
but
he had some good months.
The point I'm trying to make here is...
You've got to factor in longevity, yep.
This is one of your post-1985 best players in the history of the franchise, and even including 85. Still one of the greatest players in the history of the organization, and that's the offer you make to him? Like, I don't care if that's like industry standard for consultants at the NFL entry level. This is Olin Krutz. This isn't just some random guy off the street that you're hiring out of a high school.
This is the... I'm having trouble phrasing this. I don't know whether it should be, because I don't know where the offer came from, but I don't know whether it should be called the Bears, the arrogance of their ignorance or the ignorance of their arrogance. Both elements are involved here. They don't think they need anybody. They're going to pick the, you know, early Ernie Accorsi or some random person with a woodland creature on his head. They have zero institutional knowledge of the NFL, and right in front of them, a man they watched play, a man they watched dominate, one of the meanest, toughest, one of the guys who represents what the Bears should be, right? It's not just one of the reasons he was that respected is because of the way he played. He was feared. He was a defensive lineman, a defensive end. He was a guy who would he protected the quarterback with the ferocity and the anger of a guy aimed at sacking the quarterback. He was a lineman from the 85 Bears on offense. And this is a guy you say, and a texter notes, here's your $15. As an independent contractor, with everything involved, you collect $7.50.
And Texture also points out, forgot Peanut Tillman. He's very high on that list as well. So, but anyway, yeah.
Definitely.
Who made that decision? Espo, what do you think? Who made that decision?
I can't imagine the discussion that would have been, hey, you know what, let's get some of our former players that we'd like to come in and counsel the players and offering them. I mean, these guys are used to making, and I'm not saying you have to put them on, you know, for millions of dollars, but as Olin said, just think about this from the player's perspective. Think about it from the respect perspective and you know, how you're feeling about being offered $15 an hour, but also think about this. They're asking him, he said player hours. Well, that's a lot of hours. You know, $15 an hour, and I've worked enough jobs trying to get into this crazy industry and in this crazy industry, where exactly what Stud says, you know, bar pay is often better than this. You know, you work 12 hours, you know, you're still looking at way less than, you know, $200 there. You're about $100 probably after take home and then tip out maybe. But for what you're talking about with Olin, I mean, that's like, you know, you want him to be there all day, but you're going to pay him 15 an hour times, you know, even if it's 12. I mean, it's still not even $150. I mean, to him, that's pocket change. I mean, why would he even do that?
Well, he wouldn't.
And he didn't.
And no, what it does, the Bears obviously are shameless. They don't seem to recognize. They have a different view of who they are. Everybody else, I mean, they're treating everybody else. They treat Bears fans for stupid because they don't have any respect for them. They're not putting out a product. And this starts with Virginia, because your chairmen have been the winners of the lucky sperm contest. That's who they have. They've been offspring, not anybody who knows anything about building a winning football team, overseeing a winning football organization. George McCaskey became CEO in 2011. Since then, he and Terrible Ted have gone 73-97 with two playoff berths and zero wins. So, if you combine Espo, Trash Panda, me,
mm-hmm.
they have the same number of playoff victories as we do. Matt Nagy will be the fourth head coach.
You know what? My flag football team has been more successful in the playoffs than the Bears have. We have a championship since 2018.
There you go. So Nagy will be the fourth head coach that McCaskey will fire. Ryan Pace should be the third general manager he will fire. How do you stick around with that record? Remember what George said? Well, he'll judge things on progress. Remember last January at that embarrassing... That was when we got the four horses' asses of the beerpocalypse together, and they all
collaboration.
Said, yeah, hey, there you go. We collaborated. They collaborated to a 6-10 record. Thank God, there's an extra game. They can go 6-11, and you have decisions being made by a guy who was a member of the Lucky Sperm Club. And what is Ted Phillips' qualification to oversee a football organization? He was an accountant. He oversaw, he finally got the negotiations done to build the smallest stadium in the NFL, the smallest stadium in the biggest league in the world.
Again, the collaboration.
The smallest stadium in the biggest league in the world, and he's running your football organization. These are the guys making a decision on Hayden, Ryan Pace, and Matt Nagy, and maybe one of them made the decision on giving Olam Krutz a $15 an hour offer.
When your business and your business value only goes up, and you don't have to worry about it going down, you don't have to worry about things like what you're talking about.
That's true. That's true. It's a no-risk business. That's what the NFL is. And they treat Bears fans, former players, the way they treat Roger Goodell. You hear enough people talk, probably not on the record, but they treat Roger Goodell like a pool boy. I wanted to say something else, but right. I'm not sure I could say
no.
it.
From Don't say it.
History of the World Part 1, what Harvey Korman was. Uh-huh. Harvey Korman, just, you know, use the Google machine and the YouTube-ist part of it, and... It's not pool boy, but it begins with a P, and it's Harvey Korman, and it's history of the world, and that's the way they treat him. And then when you got tipped out, Studs, did you get tipped out? Did they throw the money in the urinal the way they did Harvey Korman did in history of the world?
Fortunately, I worked with some good bartenders, so no, they would just hand me cash.
That's good.
And I can tell you, as somebody who worked in the bar business 25 years ago when I was right out of college trying to get into this, and I would tend bar or whatever I would do would get tipped out, I made more at my bar job than I did at my radio and TV jobs at the time. But I was trying to break into the industry, right? So it was... That's the weird part of this. Yeah, exactly.
Like
somebody
now.
Want a bartender or a DJ? I can do that for
He's
you.
He's assistant suckage.
That's right.
He's my guest, Vizito, a second year sitting in for Grody. Grody will be here at 1 o'clock. Not here, but he will be on our airwaves. It's his show, and he'll be on this show, but he's not on this show right now while we're doing this show.
Eventually.
And Espo and Trash Panda are here. And at noon, I have to stop saying noon when we book Rick Camp. I have to say lunchtime. I think it's much more appropriate to have our Bulls post-game host and co-founder of the I'm Fat podcast, he's on at lunchtime. It should always be lunchtime. And we have a food issue to discuss with him. There was a food item that was debuted in Houston at the Toyota Arena or Toyota Center, whatever they call that thing down there where the Rockets play. So we will get his views on that. In the meantime, you can text us at 312-644-6767. That's the number. And that is the Tech Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. That's also the phone number. Nobody calls it, but anyways, we'll have the breaking phone call sounder. When we take a break, when we come back, Espo, he wasn't a Bears legend the way we've talked about. He's the son of a Bears legend. And he tweeted out something about what the Bears possibly could do, one of the rumors about Ryan Pace and what it would mean. And then I have an idea. And thank God we have a TV person on staff that we might be able to pull this thing together. We're really doing a lot of, reaching out, networking, right? We're asking fellow Suckageers, they come across anyone. You know, it doesn't even have to be a sports figure saying the word suck. It could be some, you know, some politician, some embarrassed politician. I guess that's redundant. But
certainly
could,
lots with yeah. the Chicago teachers and the Chicago public schools. I'm sure in some of those press conferences the word suck is used.
That's
has
we could,
to be.
We could do that. Anyways, the son of a Bears legend had some thoughts on this, and then I have another idea that we could branch out, and we're just going to keep firing these things out until something hits or we get rid of this entire family running this football organization. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito, and over there is Trash Panda. We suck so you don't have to, and we are needed more than ever in football Chicago. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What did you say about collaboration?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's stupid, and I hate it.
That's her. That's her, Trash Panda. That's Layla Rahimi. She's the payoff on this. By the way, just looking this up, Forbes. By the way, that's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Espo's in for Grody, who's in for Espo, who's in for Matt Spiegel. And Matt Spiegel is now with Danny Parkins, and they had Olin Krutz on. See how this is like an Escher drawing. It just turns back on itself.
Again, the collaboration.
Yeah, the collaboration of the Bears. In according to Forbes, in 2018, the Bears were worth $2.85 billion. And on Parkins and Spiegel yesterday, Olin Krutz said the Bears in 2018 offered him $15 an hour to consult on offensive linemen. Again, in 2018, the Bears are worth $2.85 billion. And they offered Olin Krutz $15 an hour to consult on offensive linemen.
How many hours, I'm going to figure this out here, how many hours Olin would have had to work to hit $1 billion?
I think he'd need several lifetimes.
Not even that. We'll take it down to a million. I think Olin's last contract with the Bears was like $2 million.
So I actually have this. I have this. I have a calculator in my hand. It is
Do the math for us.
I've already done it. $15 an hour and $1 million. You would need to work a very satanic 66,666.66 hours.
Now, divide that. Do me a favor. Divide that by 365. How many years? And this is working. So this.
Right.
182.5 years.
Jesus.
You'd have to be the knight in.
Did we
the
do
last
that right?
Crusade? You'd have to be the knight who gives his sword to Indiana Jones. I saw that recently. Right. I love that because it's Sean Connery. I love that, and he didn't know why he called him. The guy didn't know why he called Junior. And his name is Henry. What was it in Indiana? And then the guy's laughing uproariously.
The dog's name was Indiana.
Yeah, that's right. I love that dog. See, that's why we need Grody to do Indiana Jones. All right.
Or Harrison Ford. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. All right. It's just, again, 2018.
Unlock me! Unlock me!
Right. You were dumb enough to stupid enough to bring my book with it, Junior. Okay. Jarrett Payton. Does that last name ring a bell in Chicago football? Football Chicago. Hello.
Hello.
So, Jarrett Payton tweeted out, I talked to a former NFL head coach last night, and he said the Bears will have no chance of hiring any big-name head coach if Ryan Pace is the GM or president of football operations. And again, this is the backdrop of the for all the collaboration we heard.
Collaboration.
And the the press conference, the four horses' asses of the Bearpocalypse, and they're going to collaborate and be better and gooder and funner. And they're 6-10. And Nagy's firing is a foregone conclusion. But suddenly there's talk around the league. Brad Biggs wrote it. And there's been discussion on our airwaves that Ryan Pace could survive this. Ryan Pace, 7 years, no playoff victories, pathetic personnel. He has been wrong on every quarterback, and there's a good chance he'll be wrong about Justin Fields. Given his history, he's more likely to be wrong about Justin Fields than he is likely to be right. And there's the threat that he could stick around because I guess he has good hair and good manners. He certainly is lousy at his job. Really? What have they said about, you know what, Espo, this is it struck me this week when you're talking about the possibility that Ryan Pace could be kept around because the only thing I've heard in his favor, besides the good hair and the good manners, is
he got
a football structure built, right? Wasn't they were talking about the improvement at Hallis Hall that John Fox had railing about the lack of professionalism up there to compete at the highest level. So then, if it happens that Ryan Pace gets kept around, it will be for interior decorating. It will not be for anything related to making a football team a winner.
I just love that you go to good hair and good manners first because I think the record at this point speaks for itself. And I mean, they've admitted as much in some of their press conferences, right? I mean, you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse one from last year. And I know
asses of the apocalypse.
Yes, exactly. That one, I mean, listen, when you tout a 6-game losing streak and collaboration as reasons for bringing the band back together, then we're all in trouble as a football fandom, I think. So I think that speaks right. I mean, George said it, right? We'll know what's coming, or we'll know by the results of this year, basically, right? I mean, we all saw that press conference last year as like, all right, guys, you're on thin ice. This is as close as we can get to firing you. We almost fired you, but we're not going to, probably because we don't want to pay off what's left on your contract, so you're going to come back again next year. But this time we mean it. You have to do better. And, I mean, they haven't. So I don't see how this is even a decision. But, again, I understand the stuff that's coming out of Hallis Hall seems to indicate that there is a chance that Pace gets kicked to one of the other offices in there, which would be very Bearsy, right? I mean, the Bears are much like the White Sox, right? Where if you work for the White Sox or if you work for the Bears, you're locked in, right? It's a family business. They value their employees. And this is all, I mean, listen, as an employee, it's fantastic. But in a situation like this where you're looking at who's running your football operations, I mean, nothing against Ryan Pace's hair or manners, but he certainly does not. His track record speaks for it. Is what it is. What was it? Parcells who said, "You are what your record is." Was that not him?
Yes, yes, it was. And Ryan Pace's record sucks. Welcome to Saturday Suckage, Ryan Pace. You're right. You are what your record says you are. But with the Bears, see, Matt Nagy said it this week. We're in a results oriented business. He has said that often. Nobody else says it. George indicates progress was a barometer, whatever he views as progress. Ted is just sweats all over the place, and Ryan Pace hides. And we'll discuss Ryan Pace as a snake later on, but right now, the idea that he could stick around shows you that Matt Nagy, the guy who's going to get fired for a lack of production, a lack of results, is the only guy who understands being in a results-oriented business. Virginia doesn't. She's got the same son running this. He's what, 20 games under 500 since he took over? And that goes for Ted, too. I mean, you have losers all over the place. You have nobody who's shown that they can win. You have all kinds of of mistakes of epic proportions. Ryan Pace has failed with football coaches and with head coaches and with quarterbacks, the two most important things in the NFL. How does he keep that job?
And you're talking about, and I don't have to go through the whole history, but you know, you have the famous Ditka quote about George Halas and, you know, throwing around nickels like they were manhole covers or something like that. You have that whole thing where the Bears were the last team to actually hire a general manager to run their football operations. And I mean, we're talking well into the, I think it was the 90s. Mark Hatley was he wasn't exactly the general manager. He was something with player personnel, but he ran the football side of things. And then Jerry Angelo finally was the first GM they ever hired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're an old school family business. The business happens to be football. But while you look at it, kind of reminds me different sports. And obviously, I'm not working inside Halas Hall, but it kind of reminds me of Theo Epstein's comments when he came to the Cubs and walked into the office and basically saw what existed there in baseball operations. And they've done a complete 180 on that since then. It's like, well, wait a second. This isn't modern baseball. This is old-time baseball, right? I almost feel like, and I have no way of proving this, but I almost feel like that's the Bears also. Don't you?
Yes, I do. And they're in need of whatever. You know what? I take Theo Epstein running football at this point.
For sure.
I mean, you had Paul Podesta. You basically had Jonah Hill from Moneyball running the Browns.
Yes. I mean, Theo would have the sense to hire, to know that this isn't his area of expertise, so he needs to hire someone that does know what he's doing.
Yeah. And so here's my thought. Do you know what's going on in Jacksonville tomorrow for the last game? How the fans are upset with...
I see there's going dress to up be as a clowns. Protest of some,
there we go.
Some kind, yes.
So here's my thought. If Monday Matt Nagy gets fired and we have George and Ted come out and talk about how Ryan Pace is going to stick around in whatever position he is, it'd be horrible if it were still GM. Then I'm thinking this. And I wonder if it would get covered the way we need it to get covered. If they do that, would fans, I would call them the sane clown posse, show up at 1920 football drive at Halas Hall as close as they could get in clown face and write the names of Pace, Phillips, McCaskey, and Virginia on their foreheads. You could use the white makeup, right? The clowns have. And then whatever other colors, the yellows, the reds, the blues, the eyes, the cheeks, the mouth. But just make sure that you write in black, whatever, black grease face, whatever that's supposed to be, Pace, Phillips, McCaskey, Virginia. See, don't you think TV would cover that? Do you think Layla's Channel 5 would cover that? Would that get... Wouldn't that make for great video?
The video would circulate because somebody would tweet it and then it would get retweeted from there, right? I mean, you almost don't even need to have an actual outlet there. Somebody would do it. We're really asking a lot of our suckageers today.
Going, and the danger is that nobody will show up in a clown face and we could find out just how little reach we have. But that would be something I would run by a TV professional if we had one on staff. Would they cover that? How high to the top of the show would it go? Because I think it would be great video if Bears fans in protest showed up in clown faces with the names of Pace, Phillips, McCaskey, and Virginia written on their foreheads amid their clown makeup. That would be great. That's my thought. I don't know. All right. So we'll take a break. We've angered people. We will come back in a rare spasm of talk radio, take some phone calls. 312-644-6767. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito in for Grody. Grody will be on this show. This is his show. He'll be on this show at 1 o'clock. But next, we'll take your thoughts on the four horses' asses of the Bearpocalypse as they come riding into the week. I cannot wait. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We don't have turds on this team.
Now, the front office, that's a whole other thing. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Mike Esposito is in for Grody, who's supposed to be on this show. He's not on this show, but he will be on this show. Espo's on this show. He used to be on this show. It's our show. Saturday Suckage, Wake and Bake Club. And so we've asked our fellow Suckageers several things today. We've made and we've heard from the Wake and Bake Club, too. 708 Texter. And you can text us at 312-644-6767. My idea of having Bears fans in protest of Ryan Pace staying show up in clown makeup with the names Pace, Phillips, McCaskey, and Virginia written on their foreheads amid their clown makeup. That sounds like a Wake and Bake Club idea. And this comes from an 815 mom whose phone was hacked. Okay. This is what we're doing. All right. Well, people have called us, I guess. And so we'll go to Jordan on line one. Jordan, how are you? Welcome to the Score.
Like, the point I thought about was, like, there's vendors at the game making more money than Olin Kruitz would. And they don't even think about it. Flat on them. Like, the thought of, like, how the shame of, like, this kept coming out, how it reflects on the Bears organization. But what I was going to say is I'm a Chicago teacher, and I'm trying to figure out who's full of more crap. The mayor and CPS officials saying the schools are safe when they're requiring a vaccination card to go anywhere in any public gathering in Chicago. Yet somehow the schools are safe with only 15% of the kids being vaccinated and not having to get tested. So, or the Bears.
Well, there does seem to be a tsunami of stupid, Jordan, and thank you for what you do. Thank you for how under the trying and dire circumstances which you do it. I can't imagine that. Espo, you got kids. Are they physically in school?
They are physically in school. We get a lot of COVID information, and we actually had in the family, in our house here, we had COVID last month. Thankfully, it was mild. We are all vaccinated. The kids are back in school. But yeah, I mean, one of my kids brought it home from wherever. I would imagine school, but we all had it, and we have all been, you know, through that. And as I said, we're all vaxxed. I'm boosted. The kids are, you know, as much as they can be. And I also have, from perspective on that, my sister is a CPS teacher. So I have heard all of this, and it is complete. You talk about Saturday Suckage. That's some serious stuff going on in the CPS.
Yeah,
right,
I can't.
Now.
You can talk to Mel Michaels, who is Lawrence's wife, and what? And I feel teachers and certainly the hospital workers, the frontline workers, extreme frontline workers. That just thank you for what you're doing. I can't imagine that. There's nothing more dire, more threatening. Nothing. I can't imagine. You know, being in a position where you could feel more mentally and emotionally debilitated than that.
Well, and I can tell you from firsthand, you know, remote learning for the kids, especially mine are younger, and I can speak firsthand to this. The remote learning, thinking you're going to be able to Zoom school,
no,
it just doesn't work.
No, aren't enough Pop-Tarts to do that, are there?
No, all joking aside, there's no chance. I mean, you to prop a 9-year-old in front of a laptop and call it school. I mean, come on, it does not work. But all the in person stuff, and I get what Jordan was saying.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
Right,
right. You've got to keep it. There's got to be some protocols to keep everyone safe.
Well, we'll move along. Jim at Beecher discussing the tsunami of stupid that is the Bears front office. Jim, welcome to the Score.
Hi. I'm glad to have you that you guys are taking my call. The reason I called was relative to the McCaskies. Let's try to keep in mind these people never had to work a day in their life. They had generational billions of dollars dropped into their laps.
Well, wait, Jim. They did work. George worked in the ticket office. They did work. They are on paper, they're wealthy as hell, and as far as liquid and cash flow, not so much. In fact, there has been stories four decades of infighting in the family. Sell this thing because those of us not working for the Bears want our money, and they can't do it for estate planning purposes and estate tax purposes. And there's just a massive problem inside there for, and one of them is the perception that they're all rich. They're not. So that's wrong.
Well, okay.
They do have jobs. Okay,
you know, that's fine. You got your perception. I've got mine. The point being, if these guys had to use a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, starting from $1,000 to earn billions of dollars, the Bears would have been a powerhouse dynasty for the last 30 years because they would have been that much smarter having to develop themselves, and they would have made their football team echo basically their own, mental and business development, okay? So anyway, that's my take on it. Number two, and I think you're going to hear this here first because of the way the Bears are run, Justin Fields is in the next year or so will become Mitch Trubisky 2.0. You'll see.
We've discussed that, and he's shown every signs of being worse. He's worse than Trubisky. He's had a worse first year than Trubisky. His numbers are worse than Trubisky. He's been badly coached. And we asked the question, Espo, about, how was it a month ago? When he was coming back, when he first suffered the injury, he came out of the Pittsburgh game and he looked like that was it, the big breakthrough. And then the first quarter of the next game, it was back to Matt Nagy making sure that he sucked because Matt Nagy doesn't know how to coach the player in front of him. And I asked the question, Mark and I discussed this. I think it was Mark and I. Maybe it was you and I. I have Steve Heimer's disease. I can't remember much. But but is the greater danger to Justin Fields opposing football players while he's playing with broken ribs or Matt Nagy as his coach?
Yeah, I mean, that's the criticism of Nagy, right? And that's really why he's on his way out the door after Sunday, right? Is that you brought in to fix the offense, you're brought in to coach up the quarterback position, and, you know, 4 years later, you know, you're still in the same position where your offense is in the bottom, you know, quarter of the NFL in every statistical category. And your quarterback position is as much of a mess today as it was when you inherited it. It's terrible.
And, guys, I do want to point out, like, I just so we don't get too bogged down in Justin Fields' stats for the season, his last five games, there was a lot of improvement. In fact, his last five games cumulatively, five touchdowns, four picks, 210 yards a game, 60% completion percentage. The sack numbers are way down. The fumbles still suck, and that needs to improve. But, like, he did improve, and since, like, that's the last five games he played in, that's San Francisco through Minnesota.
I'm not saying there hasn't been improvement.
I'm just saying,
couldn't
like,
possibly have not been improvement.
Oh, of course.
He would have had to have been Craig Krenzel otherwise, and we know he's not Craig Krenzel. His ball security is horrible. He's the worst in the NFL at that. Between fumbles and interceptions, he's awful. And that's a major problem. You can't be a great quarterback if you can't hold on to the ball. And he's willing to throw downfield. We like that. I like that. That shows professional offense. But there's trouble there, and he very well could, because Ryan Pace picked him, he could very well be worse than Mitch Trubisky, given Ryan Pace's history of quarterbacks and getting every one of them wrong. Okay. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about this embarrassment of a franchise and the four horses' asses of the Bearpocalypse. We're now going to change the subject to the one good team in Chicago currently playing.
Woohoo!
We're going to talk to Rick Camp. It's lunchtime. One should always talk to Rick Camp at lunchtime. We'll discuss Bulls, and we'll discuss an item that may crop up with the I'm Fat podcast, of which Rick is a major part, a big part. I guess I should just say big part. Isn't that how we do it? Rick is a big part of the I'm Fat.
Well played, sir.
Okay. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's my guest for Zito. And we have Io and Bradley Beal. We have a give and take on the whole thing. It was quite a story from last night's win over the Wizards. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.